so many amazing things happening here at Country Hills. People who have decided to follow Jesus and are living it out in very, very real ways. We are supporting many people internationally doing God's work. And if you haven't been to the back wall, take a look and see who our church family has decided to support and where they are located in the world. We also support not only long-term missionaries, but also short-term. And I would like to invite up Lindsay Bowman to the front to share with us what God's doing in her life and where God is taking her. She's been part of our church for many, many years and a dynamite Bible quizzer, so I've been told. Yeah, the legend lives on. But could you just share with us just a little bit about what is happening, where you're going?
Thanks so much. That's great. And can I just say, it's really good to be home again. I'm away at school in Kingston most of the year. And so then when the school year ends and I get to come back to all of you, just all your friendly faces, thank you. I'm here because I have just finished yet another school year, second year med school for me. And so God has opened up this really neat opportunity for me to use this last summer vacation of my life in doing some medical missions work over in India for 2 months. And so I just wanted to tell you a bit about it so that you can kind of share in that experience with me and that, yeah, I can share with you stories when I get back about what God has been doing there. So you've maybe seen me up here a couple times before. I went to Kenya back in 2008 to do some other medical missions kind of exploration there. And then in 2011, I was in Bangladesh on a global urban partnership with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So this isn't the first time that I've gotten to do some cross-cultural missions work, but this is really neat because this is the first time I'll be doing it as someone with some degree of medical training. I'm really looking forward to spending 2 months at, it's called Lendor Community Hospital. It's in a little town called Mussoorie, which is like a hill station in the Himalayan foothills up in northern India, not too far from Nepal. And so I'll be there for 2 months. I'll be working under the supervision of the doctors and staff that work there, hopefully learning lots more about what it's like to do medical work in a cross-cultural, low-resource context, and exploring whether and how this is something that God might be calling me to in my medical career, and hopefully also being a benefit and not a burden to the doctors and the patients there. I think that's about it. I have a prayer letter here because I know that sometimes it helps to have things written down in terms of what's going on again and when's she going and when's she coming back and what am I supposed to pray for. So if you would like one of those, I can give you one. It would be wonderful to have your support in prayer because that's really key. Also, I've had a couple people approach me and ask if they could support me financially and said that that's something they'd really like to do. If that's something you feel led to do, you are welcome to do so. I've funded this trip mostly using bursaries that I've applied for and the line of credit that I used to pay for my tuition. So God has provided there at 3.5% interest, but it's great. If that's something you want to do, there's instructions for that on here too. But mostly, yeah, your prayer support, and if you want to just follow along and hear my stories when I get back and share stories of your own, that would be the best thing. So I don't know if you have any other questions.
I do. When is your departure date?
Today, actually. I should mention that. Yeah, tonight I am flying out from Toronto International Airport, and I'll be back on August 10th.
Thank you, Lindsay. Before you go, can we just pray for Lindsay as she leaves tonight? Father, thank you so much for Lindsay. Thank you for her family and her presence here at the church and the countless ways she continues to be obedient to you and inspire us through that. Thank you for her family. Thank you for her friends. Thank you for her teachers and all the people who have poured into her. And as she prepares to go, her bags are packed and, or maybe almost packed, and ready to go. God, I just pray that you continue opening doors and leading the way as she follows you and figures out the direction for her life. May you speak to her in real ways. May you show her your glory and your power. May she know when to speak and when to listen, and may you continue to fill her up. I pray for protection. I pray for health, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. May you protect her and guide her. And thank you for the work that she's doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thanks, Lindsay. That's amazing. We have another, so Lindsay is off today, and we had another group go and return, and today I'm going to invite the Peru team, Pat and her team, to come on up and share about the work that they have done in Peru and what God continues to do in Peru even after they've left. They've been to Peru numerous times over the last several years, and when I hear about the stories of how they made it in the jungle, there's no way you can say there is no God. Like, the protection, the stories, and the incredible way that they have been used year after year is just great. So, Pat, take it away.
Thanks so much. Hi, good morning, everybody. I guess we should maybe peek out behind here, but I'm going to pretend I'm Jeremy this morning. I did bring my iPad up. That was more for your own protection, so I wouldn't keep you here for an hour, because as everyone who knows me knows, I could talk about Peru all day. So I want to introduce Martha. Many of you know Martha Gunther. Martha was a vital part of the team this year in Peru, but stayed with the Hogar Materno, the maternal care center in Yurimaguas, along with another one of our teammates who was from Tiverton, Ontario. And everyone knows my husband, Eric, and if you don't, there he is, mi esposo, as he's known in Peru. And Eric was out in the jungle with us. This was Eric's third trip to Peru with us, and really helped me co-lead the team this year. I had the opportunity to go down to Peru 2 days early to do some other preparation work that we needed to do. I worked with Susan for 2 days, and then Eric brought the rest of the team down on the Friday night. We also have another team member that is here this morning, John Hamill. If you could just stand up, John. John was just an incredible blessing to us this year on many levels. John came to translate. I approached him in January about coming to translate. We met John 2 years ago when we had the large team working in Cusco and Lima, and John was working on his own through Missionary Ventures, but on his own in Peru, doing a tremendous amount of ministry with street people and drug addicts in Iquitos. And heard that there was a Missionary Ventures team coming to Lima and called the missionary to come and translate for us. And we were just so excited to have him. And he was such a great member of the team that I approached him in January to ask if he might consider coming with us this year. And after much thought and prayer and a lot of hard work, John came with us. And it was just an incredible blessing, and really happy that he's here today to support us. I'm going to let Martha speak first about her experience in the Hogar. Just trying to think about what we want to share with you. There's just so many stories and so many things that happen over those 2 weeks. And when we're trying to put a team together, it's always a challenge in terms of who's going to come on the team and how the team is going to fit. And I was really, really blessed this year with the dream team. And when I told the team on the last day that they were an absolute dream team, I said it's not a compliment I give lightly. I've only had, in the 10 mission trips that I've led over the years, this is only my third dream team. And a dream team is a team that comes together with a full spirit to serve, with no personal agenda. And on this team of 13 individuals, to which we added Peruvians who kind of came and went as God called them to the work, we added pastors, Shawi pastors. We had 2 Argentinian doctors, 2 young women in their mid-20s that were just fresh out of medical school, that had a heart to serve in their country, were not believers, but wanted to be a part of our team. We didn't even know what they looked like. We met them in the square in Terapoto. Yes, that's who they were, because they were young and looking like they didn't belong. And we greeted them, and they joined our team and were just so much a part of our family that we had no doubt that that God had really placed them there. We had so many team members that had not even met each other this year. It was an unusual year because we were scattered right across the country. Not everyone was available to meet. We only had 2 team meetings the whole time, which is an unusual thing for me. I usually try and have one at least once a month, some teams every 2 weeks, depending on the makeup of the team and the prep time. So for everyone to come together, it was really a dream. I'm going to let Martha share with you her experience at the Hogar.
Buenos dias. I better change my channel and go into English. I don't even know where to start. Such a long trip and so many experiences in here. You're supposed to put it down in a few minutes. I just picked a few things that I want to say. First of all, I want to thank everybody for all the prayers. It really lifted me up, and I felt so secure and so strong. I knew that God was with me the whole trip, and he lifted me up, and I'm so encouraged to just to serve him more as ever before. And first of all, I want to thank Pat for such a wonderful leader. Without a leader, we couldn't do those things. And she's a wonderful leader. And I think we all should applaud her right now. And I don't want to forget to thank my husband, who always supports me when I do those kind of things. And he knows what is poor, because he grew up very poor when he was little. And one day I was talking to him on the phone from there and tell him about a few things, what I saw and lived. He said to me, "Martha, be generous." And this word I couldn't forget the whole time I was there. And I found so many things where God helped me to be generous. And with all the support we had, and my husband gave me to take along, I could help people. The one night, because there, the ladies only can stay there overnight when they come from the jungle to recover and all that. And the men, they cannot stay there to overnight. And that one person had nowhere to sleep and no money. So that word came into me, be generous. So I could help him out with a few nights so he could go into town and find a room for overnights. And for that, I thank my husband to encourage me to be generous. Those ladies who come down from the jungle to stay there in the maternity home, they travel sometimes about 2-3 days in canoes and whatever, how they come down, I don't know. And they wait there for having their babies, and they can stay there till they recover to go back home. And there was one other instance that a couple came down. The lady had eaten like monkey meat, and a bone got stuck in her throat. And so they came down to be there, but they couldn't help her there in Yurimaguas. They sent her away to Tarapoto, and they came back. They couldn't help her there either. And so I don't know what was the end of that. I think they had to go home again from where they came to see what other things they can do. That was another little thing. But my opportunity was in that place that I could speak with those people, with those ladies and men, and talk about Jesus. And I had Bibles with me, and I could give them Bibles, and they were so happy to take those Bibles with them. And I prepared some cards at home. The cards that we read and throw away after Christmas, we gathered them, and my husband helped me to put together those cards to put Bible verses in the back. And I had quite a few with me, and I let people select what they want. So they were so happy. For them, that was like a Christmas gift. And the one man said, "Can I have two of those?" This is how they appreciate an old cart that we throw away. And they would ask me, would you please pray with us? And so I had the privilege to pray with them, and I still pray and keep praying for those people that we touch there. And then the children, that was another part of the orphanage home. When they saw me coming, they were so happy. They said, oh, Abuelita Marta is coming. And so they all came around and hugged me, and it was so nice. And my job with the children was to help them with their homework. Sometimes they didn't want to learn. And then I thought, how can I make them that they do better? So I promised them. I went and I bought chocolates. And then I told them, Abuelita brought some chocolates, but only the ones who bring good notes home from school. The first day there were two good ones. The next day they all came home with very good notes. So they know how to study. So, and I promised two little girls, I said, one night I'm going to sleep with you. So I did. I went into where they sleep and I lie down. I don't know if I told you that. I break rules. So I promised them, so I went in and I lie down. And not too long after, the lady who was in charge for the night, she came in too, and she sat down beside me. And so the children were sleeping, and then she opened up to me and told me all her life story. It went on, I think, till about midnight. And then I said to myself later, that was more important to listen than to sleep. So I was blessed, and I think I could bless just in listening what other people have on their hearts to tell, and tell the stories how they became Christians. I have to say, those ladies who work in the Hogar, they're very wonderful Christian ladies. We prayed together, we laughed together, and we cried together with all their stories. And then what else could I help there? I was kind of want to eat something different. So I offered myself, how about we bake bread? So we baked bread. They never knew how to bake bread. And then we made homemade pizzas. And then we made cinnamon rolls. They were always gone like water. Anyway, and then I was invited to one of the ladies' home for a dinner. And then she said to me, but you have to kill the chicken. I said, how do I do that? I didn't want to disappoint her. She said, I have a very sharp knife. So you can just imagine the rest. Like a killer. So she made a wonderful dinner. And what else can I say? Electricity we had sometimes, but we always knew what time it was at night, because behind our walls where we were sleeping, they had chickens. And we always knew when it was midnight, and we knew when it was 4 o'clock in the morning, because the roosters was telling us what time it was. But all in all, I want to say that I was very blessed, and I ask you to keep praying for this kind of jobs. I don't know, I'm getting a little older than the rest of the team, but I want to do whatever God wants me to do, and as long as he gives me the strength. And I want to leave you with a little verse. Have I still time to read it? I said I'm going to take an hour. No. In Deuteronomy 15, give generously to him and do so without grudging hearts. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless your work and in everything you put your hands to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to do open-handed and generous towards the poor and needy. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Martha. And I'm just going to let Eric share a little bit of his experience in the jungle this year.
Yesterday, when Bab mentioned, she said, you're going to speak for a few minutes. I didn't have anything to say. And I didn't have anything to say last night. I didn't have anything to say this morning. But I went outside and had a few minutes of quiet time. And then somebody else said, you had a few things to say. And what an opportunity. As most of you know, I'm a financial advisor at TD Canada Trust. And what I normally deal with is investing and mortgages and lines of credit and financial planning and such. And for a few years past, been leading these mission trips. And I kept saying to myself, what can I offer? And then I had an opportunity of going to a church in Michigan, and I listened to a Peruvian pastor giving an update on what was going on in Peru. And he said, we want to thank you for your prayers. And we want to thank you for those people who are sending funds, and they're sending clothes, and they're sending medicine. We want to thank you, and it makes a huge difference. And then he said, if you ever get the opportunity to come to our country, you have no idea what an encouragement you are. And I remember looking at Pat and saying, I guess I better go. And it hit home. It's not about me. As much as I want to give, to share, it's not about me. And if you go with the right heart, you'll be used. The teams that go are changed forever. And this just confirms what we're doing is right. And when you can get team members who don't know anybody else on the team, and they open up, and they're not necessarily Christians, or we don't know where they are, and they can say at a dinner table, this is truly inspirational. This gets exciting. Things are changed. The services there are exciting. We've been witnessed baptisms, and that's exciting. What an opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
I always hate being the last one to follow all the... So I've put together a slideshow. I'm going to have it just run in the background while I'm talking and just updating you on some of the things that we did. And although I know you've heard the heart of what we did. And these pictures, you'll have a great sense of where we went, how we got there, the Pecky boats.
The work we did while we were there, the people we saw. It's always hard when I'm looking at over 1,000 pictures, because I gather from many of the team members, everyone has a different perspective of who they saw and what they did when they were there, and trying to collect those 1,000 pictures and just choosing just those few. And as I look through them, and go, oh my gosh, oh, I remember that. Oh yeah, that was amazing. That was sad. Or, you know, that, oh, that was so touching. But it won't convey the same thing to you. But I hope that as you see the pictures of where we were and the faces of those we saw, that they will speak to you. The picture you're looking at right now is just pure joy in a toy for a child who's never had a toy. These are children and people that are poor beyond what we can ever imagine. They gave up for us their living rooms, what we would call their living rooms, a platform of bark that we could pitch our tents in their home and drag mud, because we weren't in our bare feet. We were in big, dirty old boots. They hauled water for us with joy. They insisted on hauling water for us. They built latrines for us. And that's a basic need for us. They wanted to ensure that we had what we needed to work. We were in 5 villages this year. It's the most we've ever been in. We were in the jungle for 9 days and 8 nights, which I have to tell you is a very long time to be away. I want to thank you for your prayers. Your prayers filled the waters, filled the rivers for us. You'll see we rode everywhere, just about everywhere, in very small boats, pecky boats, and wooden canoes. If we had not had the water, we would not have even got to the tributaries with those. The water was very low this year, but we were able to reach 5 villages. Of those 5 villages, 2 I have been to before, and 3 were new. One village, Dos Namayo, which was the last village we visited on the last day, was actually a village where the pastors of Santa Clara wanted to do a church plant. And yes, in Peru, they church plant. There is a very huge, growing Christian group of Shawi in the Alto Amazonas. And we had the pleasure of working with several of those young pastors. Every village we were in, we had a worship service. And I have notes, and as you can see, I'm not reading them to you. This was one of my learnings this year, because I get to the end of it and I say, what did God teach me this year? Aside from team dynamics and aside from relying on fully on him, because he does teach me that every year, and he does teach me a great deal medically and around leadership and around bowing to his leadership and bowing to his grace. He taught me a great deal about worship this year. I can tell you that I don't like whina music. The whina music is just exactly what it sounds like. It is mountain music. What is happening in the Shawi region of Frymartsin, you're looking at a baptism in Frymartsin and the river in Frymartsin that happened when we were there. There was a couple, the gentleman that's being baptized, as you see in the picture right there, and his wife and daughter were baptized in Frymartsin. This was a family that had a malnourished baby that went to live at the Ogar. The mother and the baby lived at the Ogar until the baby was restored. And during that time, she came to know the Lord. She went home, joined her local church, and led her husband to the Lord, and they came. And they came to answer God's call. What's happening in Frymartsin, which is a large, actually a jungle town, a along the Piranapur River. It's led by a very strong pastor, Rocky and Tomasa, are a couple in their early 40s. Rocky is a strong pastoral leader. He has led many of his people to the Lord and drives a strong church. He's also the lead pastor of the Shawi within the region. There are many mountain people now coming out of the area to the east of Frymartin, to the west, the mountains in the west, and coming into the Frymartin area. There's a lot of land available. There is, it's open to whoever wants to squat. And so there are many mountain people, and it was Rocky's desire to reach out to them, and his plan was how to do that, because the Shawi worship is quite different from the mountain worship. And he invited a team of Waina musicians, and we had the privilege of attending that service with them. It was an evangelical service. He invited the mountain people. For anyone that has been to Latin America, you will know the louder the music, the better. And oh my, it's loud. They have sound systems that any of us would envy, that they have really worked toward to have their ministry, because to them, the music and the loudness of that music is part of their ministry. And so I did discover that I did not like Waina music, but what the Lord allowed me to see through the, oh my gosh, this music is too much for me, was the pure, unabandoned worship that the people of Peru give themselves to. We're afraid to clap on Sunday. And we're afraid to clap during service. These are people that dance and raise their hands and sing and praise, not for one song, 2.5 hours of straight worship. I learned a great deal about worship. We are very stuffy here. And I have learned that God loves the worship of his people's heart. And we need to show our heart in worship, because we don't show it enough. We're afraid. We're afraid to raise our arms. We're afraid to just glorify the Lord. So Frymartin was one of the villages that we've been in before. We were five villages. Nuevo Yurimaguas, Pocopia, Frymartin, Santa Clara, and Dos de Mayo. Pocopia, you may recognize the name. We were there 3 years ago. 3 years ago, when Norma and Sue Sisko and I were in Pocopia, we were with a small team of seven, and I believe at the time we shared with you that this was a town of darkness. This was a small village on the Cachiyaca River, tributary off of the Piranapura. We wanted to hold worship services there, and we were not able to. There was so much alcoholism. There was so much abuse within this small village, and it was a very small village, no church, no store, nothing, just a small little village on the banks of the Cachiyaca tributary. We left there. We did 3 days of clinic there, and when we left, it was with a partnership between the one elder of the village and the Missionary Ventures Peru team, that the Missionary Ventures Peru team would return to start a church plant, to begin to work with the village men to establish farming and cropping, and to teach them to corral their animals and to manage their livestock. This is what has happened there. And so we arrived 3 years later, and I cannot even begin to tell you how exciting it was to be back in Pocopia. There's a brand new health post. The old health post is now a primary school. The government school is still present. There's a community center. It's a dirt floor and four walls and a thatched roof, but it's a community center. And they have church services there every Sunday. There is a very wonderful young pastor who has taken the leadership of Pocopia. And the village is growing. There are many new homes. So it was very exciting to be back there, to have worship there both nights. The opening slide where you saw the three young girls dancing and worship, that was a worship service, and that was in Pukopia. And I'm sorry that Sue and Norma aren't here to see those pictures, because Norma had a tremendous burden for the people of Pukopia, and I know that she has continued to pray for them. And God has honored those prayers. That's how it was Pukopia. We also had a baptism at Pukopia, so that was very exciting. A young family, again, entered the waters of baptism in Pukopia. Santa Clara was a small Christian community. Two young pastors there allowed us to, invited us in. And, this is very amusing to have a Singer sewing machine in sitting in the mud between two thatched roofs, and the women can't quite figure out how to thread it. So luckily, Jeanetta and I are both sewers, and there we were planted before our boat left trying to fix the Singer sewing machine, which we managed to do and get it going. Anyway, Santa Clara, that was in Santa Clara. Santa Clara is a lovely Christian community. The pastor there had built a brand new home, and it was his goal that his brand new house, his mahogany floor on platform stilts and his new tin roof — they all want tin roofs there, I can't quite figure it out because it is like baking in it, but that's their idea of prosperity, is to have a tin roof instead of a thatched roof. But it was his goal to have his new home built so that we could pitch our tents in his new home, and that's what we did. They had not even used their home yet. How many of you would do that? Build a brand new home, the pride of the village, and then allow strangers to tromp through in their muddy boots and pitch their tents. But that's what giving hearts these people have, and what a joy it was for them to give to us and to play host and host us for us. So we pitched our tents in that home. Dos de Mayo was our last stop of the 8 days. It was our last clinic. And Dos de Mayo probably gave us our most challenges. We had two very, very sick babies that came in that day. We also had one of the nurse practitioners, Peruvian nurse practitioners, join us for the last 3 days of clinic upriver. And Ruth called the ambulance boat from Veradera to come. They do have a fast speedboat out of the health post in Veradera, but it could not reach us. The rivers were too low, so we had to put the babies with Ruth in a pecky boat and send them 3 hours upriver to meet the speedboat from Veradera. Both those babies made it to the health post on time. They were cared for at the health post, which is a very well-equipped health post in Veradera, and they were sent first thing in the morning, first light in the morning, to the hospital. So Dos de Mayo was our village that had never had the gospel. And so again, we were there for worship that night. It was a small group, but 8 people came forward at the altar call that night. So there will be a church in Dos de Mayo. As we left and we headed back to Yurimaguas, we also had an extra privilege of sharing with the doctors at the public hospital in Yurimaguas. And Justin DeBeer, who is an orthopedic surgeon from Hamilton, was with us this year. And he presented on compound fractures, and we were able to do surgical rounds. And what that opened is a new opportunity for us next year to actually be in the OR with some of the doctors. So it is our hope and our prayer that next year John is going to come with us again. He already knows. I've talked to him. I have a little job for him next year. Justin is planning to go with us again next year, but spend the first 3 or 4 days staying in Yurimaguas, working with the physicians at the hospital and doing some orthopedic work there with them. And John will stay behind to do the translating in the OR. So many doors are opening for us there as a mission team, and more need. And as we have the need, God knows the need there, and he's provided the people to meet that need. And so it's very exciting to be a part of that. You'll have seen kind of in those pictures at the end there. I just want you to throw up that thank you slide. You saw some building happening there, and in case you're wondering why I had pictures of concrete buildings, that is the new extension that's going on to the Ogar Maternal. There have been two extensions built onto the Ogar Maternal in the 8 years that I've been going to Unimaguas. Our church has played a huge, huge role in the building of those two extensions, and I want to thank you for that. Susan shared with me the last day that I was there how incredibly, incredibly grateful she was for our partnership with Country Hills Church and for the Canadian team that comes, for our family and our friends that donate so graciously. There is not donations or support really coming out of the States right now to the U.S. It's all coming from Canada. And right now, the work that's being done in the Alto Amazonas region, which is the area with the Shawi, and this includes the Bible Institute, which is a week-long Bible training session held at the Finca in Munichis every year, where all the Shawi pastors, their wives, the elders of their churches, all come for study, leadership training, Bible training. They bring in pastors from the U.S. and from Lima to do the teaching and leadership. Our money pays for that. Our money is paying for the establishment of the cacao co-op. I know I've mentioned the cacao co-op before. This year, you will have seen the plant with the big red hanging. That was the first fruit of the cacao co-op that was established 3 years ago. It takes 3 years for the cacao plant to produce fruit, and this was the first year. That happened actually just before we got down there, but Phil and Janetta were down 2 weeks before the rest of the team, and Phil was out at the field with the first crop, and it was very exciting to be part of that. Our church family and our families and friends from across southern Ontario provided the funding to begin that co-op. Phil had a sheet, a ledger, a photo of a ledger of names and money paid out for this co-op. These are farmers that had no hope, that 4 years ago had nothing, and now have a field of cacao and are gleaning and reaping the benefit of that. Thank you for that. You have provided them with a way of life. You have provided them with a job and a way to support their families and to support their church and to have their church grow. The building at the Ogar will allow more women to come in. It will allow them to continue to support the ministry to malnourished children within the Alto Amazonas. It's always busy there, it's always overflowing, and that new space will give the opportunity to reach out to more women. All the women that come through the Ogar, you heard Martha share, the wonderful Christian women who work there, they give sacrificially to these Shawi women and children. They all are discipled. Not many leave without having given their heart to the Lord. And as I shared with you with the young family that walked through the waters of baptism, that came out of the Ogar. Just at the end, you saw a goofy picture of Lily. We stock the pharmacy. When we arrived this year, that pharmacy shelf, all of the pharmacy shelves were empty. There was very little there. We left a fully stocked pharmacy this year. The medications, the antibiotics, the vitamins that we left will supply the pharmacy until we go next year. Thank you. That is your gift. Our goal this year was to raise $8,000 to $10,000, and I thought that that might be a lofty goal. We had several unbelievers on the team and who had never been to Peru before, and it's hard to convey the need. It's hard to convey the heart for the work. So to set a goal of $8,000 to $10,000 in a time when people are not always able or willing to give, I thought we might be aiming kind of high. We raised just under $18,000.
8,000 of that came from this church congregation. There are not words for us to thank you. I can't begin to convey to you the grateful hearts of the people that we serve. We could not give, we could not be there without you, without our families, without our friends who believe in what we're doing. I thank you from my heart for having the confidence in me to give to the work, to allow me to lead the team every year, and to allow me the freedom to go. Your support is a vote of confidence for what we're doing. The work we're doing is so vital. We have watched our clinics grow from 50 to 60 patients a day to well over 200. We had clinics of 270 people this year a day. That is a lot of people to put through. We filled prescriptions for every one of those people, most of them two, three, people who are very sick, even more. Everyone received vitamins. All of the adults received a small package of analgesics. I can't even imagine getting up in the morning and not being able to have my Tylenol arthritis. I'm still having a little bit of low back pain from those nights on the mahogany floor. Can you imagine a headache or a toothache that just doesn't go away? That we couldn't go to the doctor, we couldn't go to the dentist? Can you imagine not being able to take an aspirin or a Tylenol or an Advil? I couldn't. We are incredibly blessed in our culture. We are so blessed in this country. And I thank you for giving us the privilege of blessing the men and women of Peru. As our numbers grow each year, our team size has to grow, and that gives us a lot of challenges for logistics. This year, one of the challenges was water. We had some huge challenges around fresh water, simply because the rivers were low. Not every village had a well, and even if they had a well, we still had to treat the water or pass it through a filtration system. The filtration system we have is very antiquated. It would take 45 minutes to fill a bucket of water with clean water, and then we still had to treat it with iodine drops. Your generosity will allow us to buy a new water filtration system for the team for next year, so thank you. We'll be ordering that through one of the Adventure Guide. And it's a $1,600 silver filtration system. Actually, Steve Balzer brought his personal one with him this year, and being in the pharmacy, I was very, very grateful for it. We were a very long way from the kitchen and couldn't get water. And Steve's filtration system was amazing, and so there is a team size one, and that we will be purchasing that for next year. So these are the places where your money goes, and I'm going to stop talking in a couple minutes because I could just go on forever with the hearts that we touched, the toys that we were able to give, the new soccer balls, the frisbees, the dollies, the knitted teddies, the little cars, just the joy. A comb, a toothbrush. I can't imagine not having a comb or a toothbrush. They have nothing. We were able to give so many toothbrushes, combs, toys, tweezers, little household items that we carried with us that were to bless their families, not just the drugs. And all of this just simply is the sparkly. It just opens the door for the Missionary Ventures Peru team. The Missionary Ventures Peru team is large. They are building a huge network of pastors, elders, evangelists, and musical ministry there. And to have watched all of this grow over the past 8 years has been unbelievable. And there are just not words for me to convey to you the difference from when we went 8 years ago to now. It is incredible to see the growth of the Christian walk of these amazing, amazing people. And their heart for outreach and for their heart to reach the people of the next village. We find it hard to talk about the Lord with people we live next door to. And their heart, that is all they talk about. They are there walking amongst the people as we're waiting for the clinic. And they don't even, they'll say, hello, how are you? Where are you from? Do you know the Lord? There's not a shy bone in their body because they know what it's about. That is what... one of the things that the Lord has really shown me is how to be more free in worship, to be more grateful. Every year he teaches me to be more grateful. It's very easy to come back and become very complacent again in our very lovely homes and our nice cars. And but the Lord reminds me that I'm incredibly blessed, but I'm very blessed to have my friends, my family, and our church family that supports us and allows us to do this. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you on behalf of the team. And I can't begin to thank you on behalf of the Shawi people of Peru. Thank you very much.